In a world that gets more mysterious every day, where government conspiracies and cover-ups are the norm, you need a beacon of truth. You need the Paranormal Patriot. It is so good to be back behind the mic of the Paranormal Patriot. Yes, we are back. We are back from our well-deserved vacation. Thank you for joining me. I am your host, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. This is Tom Velasquez. So yes, the family and I took a trip to Florida to relax and enjoy some of the theme parks that they have down there. And I must tell you, mission accomplished. To all my Florida friends, the listeners I have down there, I envy you. I could not imagine living in those conditions for much of the year. Nobody in my family wanted to leave. I really want to move my family to Florida. But they have little things called alligators, snakes, they have lizards. They have spiders, they have bugs, and oh, yeah, they have sharks in the ocean. If it wasn't for that, I would be down there right now. But I am a big baby when it comes to alligators, snakes, lizards, spiders, bugs, and sharks. We stayed at a beautiful resort, the Paradise Palms in Clearmont, Florida. A resort that had to post signs not to swim in the parks surrounding and in the resort due to possibility of gators, snakes, possums, raccoons, snapping turtles. So you can be rest assured that this guy went nowhere near the water while I was in Florida. We went to Cocoa Beach. Beautiful day. Oh, beautiful beach. The wind was blowing in. The waves were beautiful. People all over the place. This guy wasn't letting his kids in the water. They were ankle deep and that's it. Now, you can call me an overprotective parent, but I know what's in those waters. If you don't have to worry about the barracuda, you have to worry about the jellyfish. And if you don't have to worry about those, you have to worry about the bull sharks that will attack you in 3 feet or less of water. For those of you who don't know, most shark attacks occur in less than 3 feet of water. Again, yours truly made sure he didn't wear anything that would remotely have the possibility of getting wet. I wore tennis shoes, my nice shirt, my nice shorts. So I didn't have the opportunity to go in the water. And a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, Tom, are you crazy? You're in Florida, you gotta go in the ocean. Listen, since I was old enough to realize what was in the ocean, I know there's a shark patrolling the shore. And the minute I set a toe in that ocean, it's coming after me. I'm not going to give it that chance. Nor am I going to let him take my kids. I've seen Jaws. Jaws 4, where they're in the Bahamas where they kill the kids just to get to the parents. I've seen it. I know what happens with these sharks. I know how they think. So there is no way I was going in the ocean. No way I was going in the freshwater ponds at the resort. So they had a boardwalk that we could walk, and we're walking it, and it's over kind of a swampy area, and all of a sudden my daughter's like, oh my gosh, Dad, look! And there is a huge, and I mean huge water moccasin with a frog sticking out of its mouth. And I'm like, Exhibit A, why your dad doesn't go out in nature any more than he has to. And then my middle son says, oh my gosh, Dad, look at right behind him. There's an even bigger snake stalking the snake that's eating the frog. I'm not going to be part of that food chain. You know, when I'm on my land, I'm top of the food chain. When I'm out there, when I'm in the ocean, I drop a couple notches on the food chain and I'm just not going to do it. Michigan, I hate Michigan in the winter. I've said it many times before. There is no better place in this country in the summer than the state of Michigan. And I might say, Michigan's horrible. But the beauty about Michigan is we don't have sharks. We have snakes, but there's only one that's poisonous. It's the Michigan rattler. Very, very rare to see it, and it won't kill you. But the beauty of it is they hibernate for 6 months out of the year. So 6 months out of the year, you don't see them. You don't see spiders. You don't see salamanders. You don't see lizards. You don't see snakes. You never see a shark. So when I complain about Michigan, know that in the back of my mind, I love this place because I don't have to deal with this. It is a fear of mine to be eaten by something. I don't want to be eaten by a snake. I've seen the video in, what was it, Thailand, where the guy went missing. They found a couple articles that he was carrying. They found this snake with a huge bulge in it, cut it open, and oh, lo and behold, there's the guy that it ate. The snake ate the guy. That's not how it works. If anything, the guy was supposed to be eating the snake. I don't want to drop a couple notches on the food chain. But regardless of that, I had, and my family had, an extremely phenomenal time. We went to Aquatica. We went to SeaWorld. We went to the Busch Gardens. We went to the Kennedy Space Center. That was phenomenal. For those of my listeners who are even remotely involved in NASA or have a like towards NASA or an interest in space, you have to visit that. There are so many things I learned. Did you know that we are in the process of going back to the moon and colonizing the moon? That is on the books to happen before 2020. We have the ability and we are going to lasso an asteroid, put it in orbit around the moon, and start mining it. This is coming from an astronaut that was there at the Kennedy Space Center that I talked to. By the way, he didn't seem to really enjoy my question about aliens, but I didn't expect him to. But there are so many great things happening. We are about ready to colonize the moon. And once we do that, we're going to Mars. We had such a good time. If you go to Busch Gardens, if you are a roller coaster freak, you have to try the Cheetah Run. That was by far one of the best roller coasters I have ever been on in my life. So we were completely on the go the whole time. It was, we left here Thursday at, what time did we leave? Thursday the 30th at about 2:30 after we had somebody come and get our keys out of our van in our driveway because we locked our keys in it. Once we got that to happen, we were on the road. And driving straight through Ohio, I love you. Georgia, I love you. But my God, you guys got long states. Hey, we're already in Ohio. Woo! Why are we still in Ohio? Hey, we just got through Kentucky. Hey, we're making good time. We're all the way through Tennessee. We're into Georgia. Why is Georgia so long? And then we get to Florida. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're in Florida. We're almost there. Why is it taking me 4 hours to get to my destination when I already hit the Florida-Georgia line? This is a big country. And we wanted to have so much more time, we decided to drive through nonstop. Woo-wee. That drained you. That drained you completely. But it didn't stop us from having a phenomenal time. We got back, 6:30 yesterday, which was Saturday. And we were ready to go. We're ready to go back. With that being said, I'm going to preface this because I completely forgot to tell all of my listeners that there may not be a show last week. I planned on doing a remote location show in Florida, but the schedule did not allow for it. So I'm going to tell you right now, in case I forget, the week of May 14th, I may not be able to do a show. The wife and I are flying out to Costa Rica on the 19th. No, on the 18th. So the 17th, we're heading down to Detroit, staying the night at a hotel. I will do everything in my power to do a show before I leave. But it all depends on what is left to be done before we head out of the country. So, I just wanted to tell you about my Florida vacation, how phenomenal it is, how amazing the people in Florida are. But one thing I did notice when I was in Florida, and this, in a way, bothered me. All these parks and everywhere that we went, and we did some shopping there. I had to get gas 50 billion times. And, you know, we'd go to the gift shops, we'd go to the restaurants and eat out. And if I ever eat out again, it'll be too soon. Holy cow. But there's one common thread in Florida. And it's a common thread going throughout this country. And that is, my family felt like the minority in that state. We were at theme parks. We were at restaurants. If you spoke English, you were in the minority. Now, I understand there's a lot of people coming up from Cuba, other countries. There was a lot of Spanish being spoken. There was a lot of Arabic being spoken, a lot of Germans in that area. Now, they may have been tourists, but there were a lot of German-speaking people. But the problem I have is the people that live there, they would be with their kids. Their kids could speak English, and they could speak Spanish, which is fine. That's great. You're bilingual. More power to you. But the parents could not or would not speak English. So you have to, if you have a business down there, you have to have a whole group of employees set aside that all they do is speak another language. So again, I'm the minority here. You know, there are people that are walking by me and cutting me off and, you know, sorry. And they look at me like, what? Because they don't speak my language. In America, where the official language is English, it is fast becoming the minority language in this country is English. It is a common thread in Florida, and it's infiltrating the rest of this country. I got to imagine Texas, California is the same way, where if you own a business, half of your employees have to be bilingual. Have to. Or else you can't succeed because there are so many people that will not or cannot speak this language. Their kids can, so that tells me they've been in this country for a while. So why haven't you taken the time to learn the language of the country that you came to, illegally or not? My grandfather came from Greece. He learned the language. He had to survive in this country. I still remember he died when I was 8 years old, but I still remember he had a very thick accent. Very thick accent, but you could understand him because he took the time to learn the language because he knew that if he wanted to succeed in this country, he had to learn the language. He had to adhere to the culture of this country. Nowadays, that's not the case. That's not the case at all. Nowadays, we are multicultural. We'll accept you how you are. I don't know if that's right. Again, I don't mind if you come to this country. I really don't. My grandpa did. We're all essentially immigrants, unless you're a Native American. We're all essentially immigrants. The difference is, did you come here legally or did you come here illegally? If you came here illegally, you broke the law. But even if you came here illegally, why won't you learn the language? The only way to better yourself in this country is to learn the language. I can only imagine that some of these people that were with their children have been here 20, 30 years, and they just don't want to learn the language. I understand there's a little bit of cultural pride. This is where I'm from. But there comes a point to say, okay, what am I leaving off the table? What opportunities have passed me because I won't learn English or I can't speak English. I don't know. It's just my opinion, but I felt completely like the minority there. So it was weird. I felt like I was in a different country. So the other big thing I noticed when I was gone is the world does not stop when I'm gone. So what I'm going to do on this show is I'm going to discuss some of the major news events that happened while I was gone. And there were a lot of them. So thanks for tuning in to the Paranormal Patriot. This is Tom Velasquez, your host, and we will be right back. Alrighty, this segment of the show is being brought to you by the Florida Paranormal Network. I just came back from Florida. Had a couple discussions with a couple paranormal investigators down there. Great people. So I wanted to give them a little bit of exposure. This portion of the show, again, is being brought to you by the Florida Paranormal Network. The Florida Paranormal Network is a place to report or talk about all things paranormal in the state of Florida. My Florida listenership is growing by leaps and bounds. So for those of you who are interested in the paranormal in the state of Florida and the surrounding area, or for anywhere in that matter, go contact the Florida Paranormal Network. They are on Facebook. You can reach them there at the Florida Paranormal Network and just discuss anything paranormal with them. Or if you have an encounter, you live in Florida, that is your go-to network. So again, if you are interested in the paranormal and live in Florida or the surrounding area, please go to the Florida Paranormal Network. So, as I stated before the break, unbeknownst to me, the world apparently does not stop when I go on vacation. I know, weird, huh? I figured the Paranormal Patriot is on vacation. Anything that's newsworthy stops right then and there. Because the Paranormal Patriot is on vacation. This was a hard lesson for me to learn because apparently that is not so. Because the news stories kept coming and coming and coming. I got breaking news blowing up my phone while I'm watching Shamu do a double twist and get my son wet in the first row during his show. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, Shamu, come on. The Paranormal Patriot is on vacation and I'm getting a news flash. But apparently the world doesn't care. So, I wanted to discuss a few stories that made headlines while I was gone. I'd like to give you my opinion, and I'd like to discuss them. Give you my thoughts on it. So, without further ado, let's start with this. This happened while I was on vacation.
I know nothing about this. I was surprised to see reports from Chairman Yunus on that count today. I really don't know to what Chairman Nunes was referring.
So that was former Secretary of State Susan Rice claiming on PBS she knew nothing about the unmasking allegations that Devin Nunes had claimed that was happening to the Trump administration. Devin Nunes stated, yes, there is evidence that the Trump administration had been surveilled. But Susan Rice said, well, I knew nothing about it. So she knows nothing. She knows nothing about it on PBS. Then less than a week later is this.
There were occasions when I would receive a report in which a U.S. person was referred to. Name not provided, just U.S. person. And sometimes in that context, in order to understand the importance of the report and assess its significance, it was necessary to find out or request the information as to who that U.S. official was.
Within the context of the Trump campaign, the Trump transition, did you seek the names of people involved in, to unmask the names of people involved in the Trump transition, the Trump campaign, people surrounding the president-elect?
Let me be clear.
In order to spy on them, in
absolutely,
order to expose them.
Absolutely not for any political purposes to spy, expose anything.
Absolutely not to spy for political reasons, which is an absolute lie. She has acknowledged that she knows all about it. She went into great detail about the process she used to unmask these Americans. So she has now done a complete 180 a week before on PBS. I know nothing about it. This was a shock to me. Now, Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC a week later, she states a complete process that she used and determined that these people needed to be unmasked. Here's my issue. In her position at the time in the Obama administration, she was not the gatherer of information. She was the receiver of information. She didn't make any conclusions. The Department of Justice, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI gave her the information that they found relevant on a daily basis. She took it upon herself, per the president, to ask and receive that information. That is from her mouth. So what do you believe? Do you believe the PBS story where I knew nothing about this? Or do you believe the elongated process in unmasking these individuals? I'm going to believe the elongated unmasking process because this is obviously the case. She knew about it and she lied through her teeth on the PBS interview. So my question is, how does she have any credibility? Now, this is a rhetorical question because we all know the answer to it, but why is the media not all over this? Well, it's simple. It will implement the Obama administration in the spying of Donald Trump, exactly as he said was happening. Now, Mrs. Rice had the audacity to state to Andrea Mitchell during her MSNBC interview that the claims by the president that he was being surveilled were preposterous and shocking. Even though in the same interview, she admits to requesting the unmasking of the names due to national security concerns. What are the national security concerns? Because the only reason I can see that they would want the unmasking of these individuals is due to the quote-unquote Russian connection. But the problem with that is the Russian connection, everywhere you turn, is being debunked. It doesn't exist. And that leads to one conclusion, that they were illegally spying on the president and his cabinet during the transition and even after the transition. So now, here's my issue. There are still some of you who think that Trump's claims of surveillance are ludicrous. If you read the news, and I mean the news, not the mainstream media, the actual news as it is happening, not as it's being manipulated. The mainstream media will manipulate the news to fit their narrative, to fit the Democrat Party narrative. The actual news, if you read the actual news, every day, more and more info comes out proving that he was surveilled. Be it incidentally or not, he was surveilled and the names of Americans were illegally unmasked. And they were unmasked by Susan Rice, who denied any knowledge of this on a PBS interview, but a week later goes through an elaborate process of why she would unmask these individuals and what process it takes to unmask these individuals. She denied at first and then confirmed a week later on MSNBC that she received the surveillance information that was requested by then President Obama. Here is my question to America. When is she going to be held accountable? She needs to be dragged in front of Congress to explain herself. Maybe, maybe, just maybe, Trump isn't as crazy as the media portrays him to be. He may have some truth to these wiretapping claims. Now, again, wiretapping can be a multitude of different things. It has been proven that he has been surveilled. And the more and more that comes out, it proves that Obama and his administration were behind it. So when are we going to demand that this is not the American way? And we are going to hold the people accountable that acted on this, that chose to do this. When are we going to hold them accountable? Because right now, it seems like everything's being swept under the rug. Okay, Susan Rice, you might have misspoke. You might have lied, but we're just going to let it go. I'm done letting things go. People, you have to realize that the politicians you're putting in office are corrupt. The politicians that are in office now are corrupt. Why do you think Trump is having so many issues getting things done? Because he is fighting against a corrupt system. Is Trump the end-all, be-all? No. He has his issues. I understand that. However, he is not part of the establishment, Democrat or Republican. He's not part of the establishment. So therefore, they are going to fight him tooth and nail to stop his agenda. Because it is completely 180 against what they are trying to do. Don't let anybody tell you there is not something called a deep state. It is a government within the government that actually runs the show. They are scared to death right now because people are starting to gravitate towards what Trump is doing. They are agreeing with what Trump is doing. The people that were out protesting are now starting to say, oh, maybe he's not so half bad. And they're petrified. So they're doing everything in their power to delegitimize his presidency. We as people need to stand up and realize we voted for this guy for a reason. Let's let him do what we want him to do. And in the meantime, get the corrupt politicians, the Paul Ryans, the Lindsey Grahams, the Mitch McConnells, Nancy Pelosi's, Chuck Schumer. That list could go on forever. Get them out of office. Get people there who will represent the people of their districts. Because a representative government is no longer the case in this country. We are no longer represented by our politicians. Our politicians have their own agenda. They'll tell you what they want, what you want to hear to get elected. But when they get to Washington, they've got their own agenda. This is the way it is. Accept it. And we do. We accept it. Oh, well, that's Washington. Why? Why do we accept it? We have the power. All we have to do is vote them out of office, get somebody in there who will represent us, represent our views and our values, instead of the values of the lobbyists, instead of the values of big oil, instead of the values that Washington holds dear. Until we can get those people in there, we're doomed. Absolutely doomed. It's up to us to get them in there. These politicians that have been in office 20, 30, 40 years, they have no worries. They don't lose any sleep at night worrying about what you think until it's election time. They'll tell you, well, I really am concerned about what you believe and what your values are. And we'll be like, oh, yeah, he does. And we'll elect him in. We'll elect her in. But things change once they get elected. But election season comes around. I really care about what you believe. He really does. He really cares about what we believe, even though the past has shown that they don't. But we'll elect him in because that's name recognition. I know that name. Even though the person who you may not know may represent your values and your beliefs, but it's all name recognition. It's all about the almighty dollar. Good Lord, I could go all day on that. I could, but I won't because there's more stories to talk about. Let's see, what else do we have? Yes, Neil Gorsuch was confirmed to the Supreme Court. It took the nuclear option from Mitch McConnell to get him through, but he is through. He is now a Supreme Court justice. I have a couple points I'd like to make on this whole situation here. First off, thank you. Thank you, Harry Reid, for authoring the law of the nuclear option. And it amazes me how many Democrats are out there. He can't do that. That's not right. Oh, but it was right when Harry Reid did it. Look, karma's a bitch. You want to change the rules, you got to abide by them. These Democrats are like a bunch of little kids on the playground. They sit there and they're playing a game and all of a sudden they're not winning and they change the rules. The rules are changed so they can win. So they're playing along and they're going and they're winning and all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute. The rules are still the same, but now they're losing because the people that they changed the rules to kind of contradict, in other words, they changed the rules so these people wouldn't win. All of a sudden, these people are starting to win by using the rules that they indoctrinated. Whoa, wait a minute. You can't use those rules. It doesn't work that way, guys. Rules are rules. Secondly, if you looked at the confirmation hearings, I have one question for the 45 Democrats that voted against this guy. How? How could you vote against this guy? The only thing that he had against him is he follows the law of the Constitution. So that should tell you everything you need to know about the Democratic Party. They don't want to follow the Constitution. Or it could be that this is all partisan. I don't care who they throw up there. I'm voting against them. And I am so tired of partisan politics. Neil Gorsuch, he follows the law as it is written, which is how it should be for every judge on any bench in this country. If the law states this, I have to abide by it. I don't make my own laws from the bench. Oh, but we have so many judges that will make laws from the bench. Supreme Court justices that will make laws from the bench. They're angry because he follows the law. He reads the law and interprets it as he sees fit. Does this break the law? Yes? Yeah, we got it. You're guilty. We got to change it. Does this follow the law of the land? Yes. Then it's good. Until that law is changed, that's how it's got to be. But this is all partisanship. The Democrats were going to be against anybody Donald Trump put in. But why? Why are they against Neil Gorsuch? Because he follows the Constitution. If you're a Democrat, you have to realize that your party, whether or not you agree with it or not, your party, is its goal is to eliminate the Constitution. Because according to our president, or our past president, thank God, Barack Obama, it was an outdated piece of paper. But that outdated piece of paper made us the greatest nation this planet has ever seen. And it was that way until the liberals and the Democrats decided it's not as good as it should be. We need to change it. So, in other words, you've got a good thing going. Let's change it. That would be like saying you own a business. And your business is making $1 million a year in profit. But you look at this other business over here that's making maybe $200,000 in profit, or they're struggling to get by. And you look at them and say, I need to implement what they're doing. It doesn't make sense. Why would you change something that works? Other than the fact that it doesn't fit your agenda. So it honestly, and I believe this, and I'll believe this till the cows come home. If you are a liberal and believe that the document of the Constitution is outdated and needs to be changed, you've got a wrong way of thinking. So that is what happened. Neil Gorsuch got confirmed via the nuclear option. I still don't understand how any Democrat could vote against this guy, other than the fact that they're un-American. But then, lastly, this happened this week.
Tonight I ordered a targeted military strike on the airfield in Syria from where the chemical attack was launched.
This is a tough one. Because honestly, I don't know how to feel about this. I listened to this at length during the 2 days I drove home. We actually stopped at Tennessee at my brother-in-law's home and slept for the night and then continued to Michigan. So I spent 2 days listening to the pros and cons of this action by our president. And I don't know how to feel right now. I mean, I'm leaning towards one way, but I also know during his campaign, he said, we should not be in Syria. And I agreed with him. We have no business being in Syria. I also am worried what the Russian response will be. If anything, this should kill any Russian connection that Trump had with Putin, because this is going completely against what the Russians wanted us to do. I also wonder, is this another step towards World War III? What is this going to do? Is this going to make the lunatic leader in North Korea go into hiding and say, holy cow, these guys mean business? Well, according to the latest reports, that's not the case. He's doubling down and saying, hey, yeah, you wanted to bomb Syria? Well, we can bomb you now. So does this lead us and take us another step to World War II? But my biggest issue with this is we have no idea if Assad actually was the one who ordered the gassing of his people. We don't know if sarin gas was used. You look at the pictures and the first responders are in there with boots on, but they're not wearing any gloves. Some of them aren't even wearing any face mask. They should be infected. They should be in agony right now. It was most probably phosgene, which is kind of like a chlorine type thing that burns the lungs But we don't know if Assad did it. What benefit does Assad have by gassing what some people say are his own people? But here's the issue. There are multiple religious factions in Syria. We don't know if Assad did it. That would be like, give me a Joel Osteen. I don't even know what religion he claims to represent. But he becomes a leader of this country. He decides if he's a Catholic, we'll say Presbyterian. If he decides, I don't like what the Catholics are doing, I'm going to bomb them, I'm going to bomb the Baptists, and I'm going to bomb the Methodists. That's what we're dealing with in Syria. There are so many religious factions that who are Assad's people? Because Assad is one religious faction, but you have multiple religious factions. There are reports coming out that the Free Syrian Rebels are the ones that sent the quote-unquote sarin gas attack. There are some reports that say ISIS. We don't know. So did we bomb this airfield on false information? And then you have to worry about the Steve Bannon and the Kunitz. What the hell that guy's name? It's Donald Trump's brother-in-law, who's now in charge. Steve Bannon and this guy were known for infighting in the administration. Steve Bannon got the boot, and less than 24 hours later, the bombs flew. I don't know what to think. My biggest thing is this. Donald Trump has reasserted to the world that we are not going to take it. Where Barack Obama would put a red line in the sand, don't cross that. Oh, you crossed it? I wouldn't advise. All right, I give up. Do what you want to do. Barack Obama claimed, Barack Obama, John Kerry, and oh, here's Susan Rice's name again, assured the American public that they had dismantled and got rid of all of their chemical weapons. But somebody has chemical weapons out there. It may not be sarin, but it's some type of choking agent. I'm not going to fall into what a lot of conspiracy theorists are saying. They're saying, oh, this is a false flag incident just to get the United States involved in Syria. Okay, I'll give you there's a possibility, but claiming false flag is way too easy. We did that at Sandy Hook. We did that at Fort Hood. We did that at Orlando. We've done that at San Bernardino. Not everything is a false flag incident. The pictures, the video, the horrifying videos of the children dead and gasping for air, the people gasping for air, that's not fake. I agree. I believe that a chemical attack happened. I don't know who launched it. So for us to launch missiles and destroy an airbase based on, and where did this information come from and how did it get so quickly? How did that information get out so quickly? Who did it? I don't know. All I know is we're messing not only with Syria, but messing with Russia. And that is something we don't want to do. There are rumors and there's stories out there that Russian has postponed or just basically threw out the rules of engagement where we are not to be involved or they are not to be involved with any U.S. soldiers. We are putting boots on the ground there. Obama did it. There are people over there. I know this for a fact via my military contacts. There are boots on the ground. There are more boots on the ground than we know. So those boys and girls are in harm's way. But that's the problem. I don't know how to think on this. It is great that look, at this point, Trump looks like a Reagan. Look, I don't like the fact that you gassed these kids. Boom, there's 59 Tomahawk missiles. He did that to Gaddafi in Libya. You never heard a word again from him. Until Barack Obama deemed, he needs to be removed because he didn't fit with Obama's plan. But that's another story. So we have spent the past 8 years capitulating to the world, saying, we are so sorry. We've done so much wrong. We will stay out of your business. We'll say that we're going to be against you, but you do what you want. Now, the United States is holding its own. You screw up, you're going to pay for it. That should put a lot of these terrorists, a lot of these nations that are just crazy on alert. Wow, we better not mess with the United States. They've got this guy in office that has no worries about pushing the button. Tell me what you think about this, because this one, it's hemming and hawing on me. I just don't know what to think. Tell me what you think. Was it a good thing that we bombed Syria, or maybe not? I am extremely curious to see what my listeners feel about this. So those are the biggest news stories this week, or this past week, that I missed, that I wanted to catch you up to date and give you my opinion on. Now, don't think I forgot about the Brian Moody Awards. Of course I didn't. We have been there this week, and we will be right back to give you the recipient of this week's Brian Moody Award. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot, and we will be right back. For those of you who are in Michigan, Wisconsin, and the surrounding areas, you need to mark off the date of August 19th, 2017, which is a Saturday, from 11:30 to 5, at the location of the Loyal Order of Moose, number 1386, also known as the Munising Moose Lodge, at 124 West Superior Street, Munising, Michigan, which is in the Upper Peninsula. Bigfoot researchers and fans in Michigan can now reserve limited seats for the 2017 Michigan Bigfoot Research Organization Town Hall Meeting. This meeting is being organized by veteran Michigan BFRO expedition organizers and investigators who have led many newbies to hair-raising nocturnal encounters with Michigan Bigfoot over the last decade. If you are interested in Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti, whatever you want to call them, you need to go to the Loyal Order of Moose, number 1386, also known as the Munising Moose Lodge, 124 West Superior Street, Munising, Michigan, which is in the Upper Peninsula, on August 19th, 2017, from 11 to 5. You need to be at this town hall meeting. Tell them what you have seen in regards to unexplained phenomena. See what the Bigfoot Research Organization can do to help. Again, August 19th, 2017, Munising, Michigan. That is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, from 11:30 to 5. We will see you there. We're back again. This is your host for the Brian Maddow Awards, Tom Velasquez. It is with great joy and great honor that I come to you again for week number 2. To honor this week's winner, who defies all common sense. We had such a great reception last week. We had so many people show up, giving me the finger, yelling at me for supporting Trump, that I had to do it again. This is my life's calling. And I'm willing to do it. So without further ado, we are going to go to the stage to go and find out who this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award is. This elusive, exclusive award has so many people lined up, jumping, chomping at the bit to win this award, but only so few can win it. You have to be a certain kind of stupid to win it. But this week's winner has definitely achieved that goal. So without further ado, we're going to go down to the stage and hand it off to me, Tom Velasquez, for this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award. And thank you, Tom. This week's winner is beyond ridiculous. When we decided to go with the Brian Maddow Awards, we were thinking newscasters, we were thinking celebrities. But this week's winner takes this award, and let me tell you, he runs with it. So without further ado, this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award, drum roll please. This week's winner is Drexel Professor George Cicerello. Are you kidding me? That's 2 weeks in a row. Why will nobody accept this award here? I'm tired of accepting these awards. All right, I'll do it. All righty, everybody. Professor George Cicerello cannot be here today. Who knows why? Obviously has better things to do, although I don't know why. But anyway, George Cicerello is this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award. George Cicerello, who tweeted the following: some guy gave up his first class seat for a uniformed soldier. People are thanking him. I'm trying not to vomit or yell about Mosul. Oh, Professor Cicerello, you are a special kind of stupid. This uniformed soldier that is protecting your way of life, that is protecting your ability to tweet such a stupid statement. You want to vomit. Professor Cicerello, I can't explain, even begin to explain how asinine that statement is. It is appalling to me, and I'm sure many of my listeners and those of us who are sitting here in the audience today, to know that you are teaching and molding the children, the young adults of the future. For you to want to vomit because someone had the quote-unquote audacity to give up their seat for someone who will do a million times more than you will do in your lifetime. Protect this country and protect your way of life, and you want to vomit? You, my friend, are a lifetime recipient of the Brian Maddow Award. This will never, ever go away. And for those parents who have children who attend Drexel University, let it be known that this is what your children are being taught. They're being taught that these soldiers who protect our country have no value other than vomit. I want to vomit because this guy had the audacity to give up his seat to someone who puts his life above our own. He sacrifices his life, his way of life, and his future to protect us. This makes you want to vomit? You, Professor, are a special kind of stupid. You are ridiculous. I have no value for you. This award, I throw in the trash. You don't even deserve this award. Maxine Waters last week, she put her award right in front of her mantle. It is prominent in front of her mantle. But this award for you goes right in the trash because you don't even deserve this. You deserve a Chuck Norris roundhouse kick to the face. Because I'm sure if Chuck Norris heard what you said, he would have no qualms about just drop kicking you into the ground, you sorry professor piece of... This is a family show. It is with great disgust and great hesitancy that I give this award to Drexel Professor George Cicerello, who can't stand the fact that somebody had the respect to give a member of our military their seat. You need to find another country to call home. I am so tired of you liberal educators indoctrinating our children to how you think this country should be. For anyone to disrespect and want to vomit because somebody had the audacity to honor someone who served this country is beyond belief. What have you done to benefit this country other than spread your hate? This man who gave up his seat deserves the highest honor because he realizes what this soldier has done. You, on the other hand, you deserve Jimmy Superfly Snuka to come off the top turnbuckle and give you the beating that you deserve. I can't continue, Tom. I am so infuriated at this week's Brian Maddow Award winner. George Cicerello, you are the biggest piece of dung I have ever had the... I'm going to send it back to you. Screw Katy Perry. Screw George Clooney. I don't even care that I saw him. This is horrible. Back to you, Tom.
What do I do?
What do I do? Somebody give me give me direction. I'm winging it. Okay, thanks, Tom. Let us know how you really feel. Woo-hoo! Congratulations, maybe, to George Cicerello, Drexel Professor, for this week's Brian Maddow Award that will eventually end up in the trash. Tom's pissed. Anyway, that's this week's show. Again, let me know who you think should win the next Brian Maddow Award at www.theparanormalpatriot.com. At Zoho.com, you can reach me on Minds.com, Facebook, or Twitter. Theparapatriot.com. I always forget that. Anyway, thank you for listening this week. I appreciate it for all of you in Florida. I am so jealous. I am now back in 50-degree weather. I am not liking it.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Again, thank you. We will talk to you next week. Show.